Begin the current daf Masechet Zivam is daf Kof Aleph. Begin in the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to explain the Amishnah of the previous daf. That is, Amishnah described a case where a woman left her first husband. Within 3 months, she married another man. And then, 7 months after the second husband, which was 9 months after the first husband, she had a child. Now, it's not clear the paternity of the child is the child from the first husband or from the second husband. So there are many different halachas that the Mishnah spoke about. Then the Gemara quotes what the Mishnah said, Hoishneim Kahanim B'chulu. If they're both Kahanim, then as we explained the previous stuff, what is the halachic process in such a case? And then, etc., the Mishnah continued and said that either way, if he hits or curses one of these men, he's going to be exempt because it's not clear which one is his father, and therefore we can't make him liable for the penalty for someone that hits or curses his father. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings Tarmbang in the Brisa. Actually, Machleik is regarding what would happen if it's both. Let's say he hit one of the men, which is possibly his father, then he hit the other one. Or, let's say he cursed one, and then he cursed the other one. Or, he cursed both of them at the same time. Or, he hit both of them at the same time. So, the Tana Kama holds you chai, because here, either way, one of them is definitely his father, and he cursed him, or he hit him, and therefore he's going to be chayiv. In our Mishnah, we said you're going to be pater because you hit one of them or cursed one of them. We don't know if that's your father. But although we don't know which one it is, but one of them definitely is his father, and therefore he's going to be chayiv. Behudaimer, he argues, he says, Bevas achas, if it was done at one time, we're in a curse. You could obviously put two people's name in the same curse. But with hitting, it would mean that he took a long stick, and with that one hit, he hit both of them, then chayiv. Then he holds you're going to be chayiv, because then what's necessary for any einish, for any punishment, you need to have as a hasra, you need to have a warning. So the one who's warning could warn, don't hit your father, don't curse him, because that could be at the same time. Because we're saying with the one hit, he hit both of them. So that one hit that he's about to do, you're saying that's a definitive warning, because he's definitely going to be hitting his father in that hit. But b'zeh chazeh pater, if he went and he hit one and then hit the other, then he's exempt because that requires two different warnings. First with that hit and then with the other hit. Now each one is what's called hasra safik. It's a doubtful warning because each one you don't know if that's definitely his father or not. Then that's not considered hasra. But the Tanna Kamma holds that hasra safik is considered hasra. And therefore, since Memanav Shach, either way you look at it, he's violating the isra of hitting or cursing his father, even though it was done at two different times, but one of them is definitely his father, and therefore he's going to be chayiv. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, on this braisa, but the time in the braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Patur Bebas Achas. That we have a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda is on record as saying that not only is he exempt when it's one after another, but even if they're at the same time, he holds that they're going to be exempt. So the Gemara answers, Trei Tanoi, Leib Rabbi Yehuda, it's a machlekes Tanoim, as we have these two different braisas in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, if you're exempt only Bezachar Zeh, or even Bebas Achas. So the Gemara asks, my time at the Banda Pata, what's the understanding of the second Brisa? That Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you're exempt even at one time, but that is a definitive Hasra. Why would you be exempt? So Amr B'chanine says, because Nema Bracha Lamata. Bracha is euphemistically saying that it's a blessing, but really means there's a curse regarding those who are down here on earth, meaning a reference to one's father or mother that you're not allowed to curse. But Nema Bracha Lamala, there's also an iser of cursing up above, meaning regarding Hashem. It says, Meikach of Dalad, Ki Yikal Elikav. So we make the following comparison. Ma'ala, ma'ala, Shem Bashut, but just like regarding God, there's no partner here. In other words, there's no one that we're confusing when you're cursing Chas Hashem, God. So Aflamata, Shem Bashut, so too when it's below, when you're cursing your father, it can't be that there's a confusion, that there's a partner here, maybe that who it is, because we don't know the paternity. Rather, it has to be only when there's definitive who his father is. So even if it's at the same time and it's for sure hitting his father, that he's for sure cursing his father, that's not going to work, as we find by Elikav. And v'iskash hakol l'klola, and we equate hitting to cursing. And that is because in Parashas Mishpatim, we have these two psukim of hitting and cursing near each other with one pasuk in between, where there's a manda amar in Masechta Sanhedrin that says that although there's a pasuk in between, we make a hekesh, and therefore just like by cursing we see it has to be definitive who we're talking about, and it can't be in such a case that we're describing here where it's a suffix, so too regarding hitting has to be when it's definitive, and that's the opinion of the second Rabbi Yehuda of that braisa that you're going to be exempt, even mevas achas. Now the Mishnah said, v'ayla b'mishmari v'chulu, that this suffic. If both of his fathers are kahanim, meaning not they're obviously not both his fathers, but it's doubtful if the first one was his father from 9 months or his second one from 7 months. But if they're both kahanim, so then he can go and serve the avodah in both of their different groups that they're from the kahanic families. But v'chula, as the Mishnah said, ve'ena chaylik, he doesn't get a portion of the share of the kabbanis because each family tells him, go to that one, go to that one, bring a proof that you're from our family. Now, so Gemara asks, v'chima achad ve'ena chaylik lama ayla. If he's not splitting from the kabbanis, so then what did you go ahead and do the avodah for? To which the Gemara asks, lama ayla, what does that mean? Ha'amar be'ina d'neved mitzvah, he says that he wants to do the avodah. Why are you asking why is it going up? Even if he's not getting the monetary aspect, but he definitely wants to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So rather, what the Gemara says, what the question was, is that ol leikatani, it doesn't say in the Mishnah that he's ol b'mishmari, that even though he goes up to the Mishmar and does the avodah, that he doesn't split. Ela oila, it says in the Mishnah that he's oila, which sounds like bal karchai, meaning that we tell this Safik that doesn't know who his father is, whose family he's from, which Mishmar, that even though he's not going to get a portion of the karbonis, we force him to do the avodah. That our question was, so then why do we force him? That Rav Acha bar Chanina, Abayam, Rav Asir, Rav Yechanan, Mishum Pagam Mishpacha. Because of the Pagam, the embarrassment to the two families that are maybe his family, we don't know which father is really his, that they're embarrassed because of him. Because people are going to say, why isn't he doing the avodah? Oh, it must be his puzzle. So therefore, each one of those families can force him and tell him, look, since people say you're from our family, and they're going to see you not doing the avodah, they're going to say you're a puzzle, and it's embarrassing for our family to have such a sibling, and so to with the other mishmer, and therefore we force him to go ahead and do the avodah, even though he can't prove he's from that, and that's why he's not chaylik in their portions of the kahanic parts of the karbanas. Now the Mishnah said, however, if both of them were from the same Mishmer, both of these fathers, well then he takes one portion because then either way he's from that Mishmer. Now that the Gemara asks, the Kahanim, the all of the Kahanim was split into 24 Mishmeres, which is for 24 weeks, that's the cycle, which is 48, basically covering two times a year. Now, each Mishmer is split into six Bati Avos, meaning that Mishmer, which is the larger family, has separate parents, separate families doing on each one of the 6 days. And each one does their day, and then on that day, they take the hides and the karbanas that come that day. So the Gemara asks, Maishna shnei mishmaris deloy, why do you say that when there's two different mishmaris, that then he doesn't get to split from the karbanas to get the hides? Because to azalaha mishmaru matchali, because he goes to that family, let's say the first father, and that mishmar, and they push him away. Because they tell him, prove that you're from our family. Maybe you were born from the other father. Then he goes to the other Mishmer and they reject him. They tell him, prove you're from our family. The question is, the Mishmer Echanami, even if they're from the same Mishmer, but he goes to this Beisav, meaning the week we know he's in this week, but every single day is a different family. And therefore, although he's from the extended family, but he goes to this Beisav, they reject him. And as the Bach puts in the words, Vaz lahai Beisav amatchel, and he'll go to the other family, they reject him. So what does it help that they're from the same Mishmer? So my papa says, you're right, Hachakam, and this is what the Mishnah was saying. Im hayushnei Mishmer echad, u Beisav echad, if they were not just from the same Mishmer, but also from the same Beisav, the same immediate family which serves on the same day, then that's what our Mishnah was saying, Nutel Chelik Echad, that he takes one portion, because Deim Amon Avshach, no matter who his father is, he is from that day's Avodah to get the hides that are split amongst the Kahanim. Hanulach Nesna Ala Nusa, we shall return to you the 11th parak of Masechta Yevamos, parak Nesna Ala Nusa, and with that we begin the 12th parak, which as the name of the parak opens up, Mitzvah Chalitza, which discusses the mitzvah, the specifics of the mitzvah of Chalitza, which is when there's a brother's wife, that the brother dies without any children, and there's a mitzvah of Yibum. If he doesn't want to do Yibum or he cannot do Yibum, then there's a mitzvah in certain cases of chalitza, which that's what the Mishnah will begin describing those halachas. So mitzvah chalitza is b'shloisha dayan, has to be in front of three judges. V'afila shloshin hedyotis, even if they're commoners, meaning even though they're not from the Sanhedrin, which the Gemara will ask, so why are we calling them dayan, and if it could be in front of three regular people? Mishnah continues, the process of chalitza, as the pasuk delineates, is that she brings the yavam up and takes off his shoe and she spits. So the Mishnah says that chaltza b'minal, if she does the chalitza, which literally means to take off, takes off his shoe and then does the process of spitting and the other elements that are there, if she does it with a minnal. Now, minnal literally means a soft leather type of a shoe. Chalitza sikshera. So her chalitza is valid after the fact, what's called b'di'evit, but initially, the ketchila, it should not be done with a minnal. As the Gemara later on will explain, that's because by the soft type of leather shoes, the top part could rip, which will make it invalid. Now, however, the primary chalitz is supposed to be done with a sandal. Now, sandal is not what we know as a sandal, but rather it would be more similar to our shoes, which is hardened leather, which was cooked and boiled. Now, that when that type of a shoe gets ruined, so there's no way to fix it, and therefore there's no way of tying it on the top, so there's no such a concern as we have by minnal that you still will maintain it, but then it would be invalid for chalitza. So, sandal is like a tchila, minnal is only b'di'evit. Mishnah continues, but on pilya, which literally means a shoe made out of cloth, which some want to interpret like a sock, chalitza sabsula, that would be an invalid chalitza. And that's because, as Rashi says, the type of shoe that's used in chalitza has to be one that protects the foot from the elements. Because, as the Pasuk says, it's naloi. Now, nal, Rashi says, means a shoe that protects. As the Pasuk in Yecheskel Tezayin says, ben olcha tachash, which like that's leather, which that would protect, but something that's made out of cloth doesn't protect you from the elements. And therefore, that would be invalid for chalitza. So the Mishnah continues, although a sandal is the best, but the sandal sheishli ekiv kosher. Only a sandal, again, which that would be more similar to our shoes, if it has a bottom, and if it has a sole, then it's kosher. V'shein le'ekiv pasul, if it doesn't have a bottom, then it's invalid. Moreover, min arkuvo ulamata, if the yavam is wearing the shoe from the knee and downward, chalitza ksher, that would be a valid chalitza when she takes off the shoe and does the process. But min arkuvo ulamala, and that is if, let's say, his foot was amputated from above the knee, then that's going to be chalitza psula. It's going to be invalid chalitza. It has to be from his foot, and if it's above the knee, that's no more his foot, and therefore that would be not a valid chalitza. Mishnah continues and says, chalitza besandal she'ein shalayf. Let's say she does chalitza with a sandal that's not even his. Oy besandal shalayf, or it's actually made out of wood. Oy bishal smol bimin, or if it's really a left foot shoe, and she's doing it with his right foot, then chalitza k'sher, all these cases, chalitza will be kosher. However, as Rashi points out, if she does chalitza with his left foot, that actually is taught later on in this parak that it's actually a machlekes. Chalitza begadol. If let's say that she does chalitza with a shoe that's not fit for his size, it's too big for him. However, shu yochal alechbe, but he could walk with it. Oy bekotn, or the shoe is too small. However, but it covers the majority of his foot, then chalitza sikshere, that's considered a valid chalitza. Now the Gemara goes to ask and explain our Mishnah. As we alluded to this in the Mishnah, if you said that you could even have three common people that are not judges go and do the process of chalitza, so dayanin lamali, so why does the Mishnah call it that the mitzvah chalitza is b'shleisha dayanin, with three judges if you don't need judges? So I think my answer is Hakamash Malan, that it's actually somewhere in between. The Be'inam B'shleisha Sheyodim Lahakris. Although those three people could be regular common people that are not judges, with whatever that title comes along with, but they have to be able to recite for the Yavam the Pasuk that he reads, Leichafatz Lekacht, I don't want to take her, and for the Yavama, which she says, Me'in Yavami Lahakim, that my Yavam doesn't want to take me, and Kocha Yaslish, this is what's done for someone that does chalitza, and all these words are said in Lashon HaKodesh, so they have to be able to pronounce this for the process of the Yavam and the Yavama, Ke'en Dayan, like judges are proficient, and they know the Nusach, the text, so too it can be common people, but they have to be on some element, like a judge, that they're Yoidin Lahakris. As the Gemara says, Tanin Lahadetan Abanam, this supports what we learned in the Braisa, which explains this halach in the same way. Mitzvah chalitza b'shleisha. Mitzvah chalitza is with three people. Shayodin lahakris kendayon, that they know how to recite the words of the Torah for this process of chalitza, like judges. Now in that braisa, actually, Behuda Omer b'chamisha, he says not like the Tanna Kamma, not like our Mishnah. He says that one needs five people for the process, five judges for the process of chalitza. So you ask, my Tanna Kamma, what's the reason the Tanna Kamma, and which is the same opinion as our Mishnah, that you need three judges? It's kind of like learn the braisa. It's a pasuk in Devarim that says, "Va'olsa yevimta hasha'ara," that the Yavam will come up to the gate, El Ha, as the Gemara quotes, Zikenim, up to the elders. Now, that's plural term, which the smallest amount of plural is Shnayim, that's two. So you have to have at least two elders. But, Vein Bezdin Shakal. You can't have a Bezdin that's of equal number. So you have to add on one. So I reckon Shleisha, that's the source that you have three judges to do the proceedings of Chalitza. But Rabbi Huda, who he says that you have to have five, is because afterwards the Pasuk says, it says, V'korolei zikna iri, that the elders of the town will call up this Yavam. Now, it says that it's saying that zikne. Now, that's also plural. That's another term. That's shnayim. That's another two. And you have zikenim, which was the other term, which is also plural. That's shnayim. That's also two. Now, Rashi points out, although there seems to be another reference, V'niksha yevimto yelav le'ini hazikenim, that should be another two. That's not counted because since I already said the term zikenim beforehand, it's referencing back to that term of zikenim. So however, we have 2 plus 2 is 4. And the imbez and shakal, and you can't have an equal amount of judges. So you have to add in another one. Harikan hey, that's where we have the number 5. So the Gemara has Tanakama, hai zikne my avale. What does he do with that term zikne, which Rabbi Huda uses to say another two people? He needs it l'rabuya filosh leshad yaitis, to say that these zikenim, these elders, could even be common, any type of elder that's even walking in the street, which Taisus asks, so why didn't you learn the same halacha from the term zikenim? Why do you only have to learn that from the term zikne? Now Taisus says, because when it says zikenim, it says the term hasha'ar, to the gate, which that's where the Sanhedrin used to be. So that term zikenim would make us think, yes, two, and then another one to make it three, but we would think it would have to be Sanhedrin. That's why it says the term the zikne, any elder, even an old man that's a hedged, he could also be from this Bezdin that's required to do the process of Chalitza. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Huda had Yaitis Minale. So where does Rabbi Huda know that even three common people that are not judges are also kosher to do the Avodah of Chalitza? So that the Gemara says, Nafkele Mele'ene. He learns it out from the term Le'ene. And that's because the Amamar, the master, had expounded on the Pasuk in the Varm Chav Heites that says, V'nikshu Yevimtoi Eilav, that the Yevamo will bring up to him, as the Gemara quotes, Le'ene, which is Le'ene Hazikenim, to the eyes of the elders, meaning of the Bezdin. V'cholz analim al raglish, will take off his shoe from his foot, and then goes through the whole process. Now, there was a Manda Omer that expounded the term Le'ene. What does it mean, to the eyes? Prat l'sumim. That excludes someone that's blind from being on this court of the proceedings of Chalitza. Now, on that Rabbi Huda proves, the itzrach Le'ene l'mu'uti sumim, from the fact that we needed to say that it has to be to the eyes of the judges that we're excluding that they can't be blind. Shema minah, from that alone, you can infer dafil hadyaitis. That must be the judges in this case. Could even be common people, not regular people of Sanhedrin. And the reason is because the isla gadaitach Sanhedrin be'iner, because if you would assume that it's like the judges that have to be from the proceedings of the Sanhedrin, so malam ali lamutei sumin, why would I need le'eni to exclude if he's blind? In the Tanya of Yosef Nafki, you would already know it from a different teaching, which is told by Rabbi Yosef. The Tanya of Yosef, he said, Kashem shebezim anukim betzedik, just like bezin has to be clean, that is, they have to be totally righteous, kach bezim anukim mekomum, so do they have to be totally clean, they have to be perfect, without any blemishes, without any physical blemishes. As we continue on Talmud Beis, like it says, a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, it says, Kulach yafa rayasi, all of you, my beloved, is beautiful, umum imbach, and there's no blemish in you, which is a reference to the Talmudic scholars. So we already know that Sanhedrin cannot have a blemish, and obviously they're not blind. And the fact that we're saying that we're excluding if they're blind must be that they're even hadyaitis, and that's why we have to exclude blind people. So the Gemara has v'idach, so the Tanakama, hahu le'enei my avalei. What does he do le'enei? He doesn't need it to teach this halacha, which is the inference to say, as we said before, because he already knows this halacha of hadyaitis from a different source. So the Gemara says, hahu le'kedei Rav Huda, so he learns that term le'enei for what Rav had said. Dama Rav says, Tzrichi dayani lemerze roika. The judges have to see the spit, the konofig mipumi di yavama that comes out of the mouth of the yavama. So like it says there in the pasuk, le'enei hazakenim, to the eyes of the elders, v'yarkan she spits, meaning that they have to see even the spit that's coming out of her mouth. Now v'idach the moras according to Yehuda, namen bolet karava. He also needs le'enei, not to make this inference to say that must be that it could even be hadyaitis, because he also needs it to teach the halacha that they have to see her spittle. So the Gemara says, Enechanami, you're right. That's what he learns from Le'enei. So where does he know this halacha that it could even be three head yetis. Nafka, maybe Yisrael, he learned from a different source where it says in the Pasuk, Lahakim la'achiv Hashem b'Yisrael, that the process of Yibum is to make that the brother will have a name in Kla Yisrael by having his brother marry his wife. So Yisrael called who? It makes it sound like that this process is with any Yisrael, even if he's a head yet. Now, that the Gemara asks, V'idach, Hai Yisrael my avalei, what does he do with that b'Yisrael? So I think when it says, that it says B'Yisrael, telling you that the process of Chalitza has to be Be'bezen Shal Yisrael, only in the Bezen of Yisrael, of full-fledged Jews, V'le Be'bezen Shal Gerim, and not in the court of converts. So the Gemara says, V'idach, Rabbi Yehuda, B'Yisrael Achrin Iksib. He learns that halacha from a different term B'Yisrael, where it says in Pasuk Yud, V'nikrish may B'Yisrael Beis Chalutz Anal, that they pronounce his name in the Jewish people, that this brother that's doing chalitza is the household of the shoe that was removed to say that he did chalitza. That's the pasuk where he learns out from that term b'Yisrael to say it has to be bebezn shal Yisrael b'le bebezn shal Gerim. So the Gemara says, however, ve'idach the Tanya kama mi'boy like the Tanya, he needs that b'Yisrael to teach a different halacha like the Braisa. The Rami Yehuda pamachas sayinu yeshlim pnei Reb Tarfon. One time we were sitting in front of Reb Tarfon. Uba Yivam alachlitz, and the Yivam came to do chalitza. Vamalon, and he said to us, Anu kolchem, you all should call out chalutz hanal, that this is the shoe which was taken off, to say that that's what we're learning from the pasuk, that B'Yisrael, meaning all the people over there, have to make that pronunciation. But V'idach Rabbi Yehuda, mevenikra nafka, since he learns out a different lacha from B'Yisrael, he doesn't learn it from the word B'Yisrael, but from benikra, and it says that they should call out, which not only will learn from Yisrael, that has to be Bezen, that has to be Bezen Shal Yisrael, but from the first words in those pasuk from Vinikra, is saying that everybody has to call out all those people that are around there at the time of the Chalitza. So now the Gemara asks, Elamiata, but if that's the case, the way that both Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma had been interpreting how many people you need on the Bezen, either three or five, depending on if you expound Zikne or not, which we went through the whole chronology of what do they do with the other terms, but everyone agrees, let's say by Zikanim, which that's a plural, so that's two. And the question is, Zikne, that's another two. But if that's the case, Elamiato, when it says, V'karun, they should call out, that should be another plural, that should be Shnayim, two. V'dibru, when it says, and they shall talk, that's Shnayim, that's also two. So, Achinam, is that really the case? That Lerbi Huda, Rikantisha, that should come out according to Rabbi Huda, there should be nine people on the court. And Lerban, Harikantisha, according to Rabban, there should be seven, because you take the three, plus another two, plus another two. So I think Rashi says, no, those pluralistic terms are not there to teach us the amount of people on the Bezdin, but I hope look at the Tanya, that we need for other halachas, as we learned in the Braisa. When it says v'karuloi, they call out to him, that's to teach halacha v'loi shluchim, and not their messengers. I mean, they themselves have to call out to him. When it says v'dibrei lov, they shall talk to him, what it means to say is, what's that necessary for? Of course they're talking. So now you would think maybe it's coming to say a plural term of another two people. No. Melamed, that comes to teach you that they talk to him in context. Shemesiyan lo eitzahai genesle, that they give him good advice, good counsel when it comes to this topic about being miyabim or doing chalitza to his yavama. And that is she'im hayuhu yalad v'hizikain, if he was young and she was old, or hu zakin v'yalada, or he was old and she was young. Oimle, they tell him, malacho eitzah yalada, what are you doing with a little girl? Malacho eitzah zakin, what are you doing with an old woman? Klach eitzah shekamayisho, go to someone that's your same age, and don't bring in fights in your household. You're both going to be on totally different wavelengths. And that's what v'dibrei lov comes to say. And that's why it's not a question why we shouldn't include more dayanim from those pluralistic terms of v'dibru and from v'karu. Now, Amar Rava, Amar of Nachman, he says, what's the halacha? We had a machlekes if it's three or five. He says, chalitz is b'shleisha, chalitz is done with three judges. And the reason is, ha'il v'sos l'montana kavasei, since in our Mishnah, we have a stam Mishnah that says three, and it's only in the Braisa that they argue. So because of the anonymous Mishnah, we base it on that, that it's going to be three. Now, that the Gemara asks, I'm only Rav of Nachman, Ihach, if that's the case, I mean, he was saying this over the name of Nachman, then he asked him, Miyunami, then the halacha of Miyun, which is when a minor girl gets married off, she's an orphan, by either her brothers or her mother, which is rabbinic marriage, where she can do Miyun and retroactively remove herself from that marriage. Now, Miyun also should then be the halacha with three people, meaning that process has to be in a court of three. Because it's not, we have a stam mishnah, anonymous mishnah in the first parak of Masechta Sanhedrin that says hamir machalitza b'shloisha, that not only is chalitza done with three, but min is also done with three. Now, b'chitem ochanam, and if you're going to say that, yeah, there is also a stam mishnah, and therefore you do it with three, but tani lo b'raisa that says miyun. Regarding this process of miyun, b'shami oimim bezdin mumchan, it has to be a proficient bezdin, they have to be professionals. B'shalamim, they say no, b'bezdin, whether it's in Sanhedrin, b'shalai b'bezdin, whether it's not Sanhedrin, it doesn't make a difference. But elav elam moed b'shutzach shleisha, both of them agree that you have to have three people. Now, Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yisi, they're machshir mishnayim. They say the process of miyun is valid even with a bezdin of two people. Rav Nachman, he says, halacha ko'isa azog, the halacha is like that pair that are validating it just with two people. How can we say the halacha is like two when we have a stam mishnah which says that it's with three, and you said the reason why the halacha is chalitza with three because we have a stam mishnah that says with three? So that Rav Nachman answered that no. Hasam by miyun, there's only chad stamma. There's one anonymous mishnah. V'hach over here, by Chalitza, we have trei stamim, we have two anonymous mishnayos. We have our mishnah, and the one in Sanhedrin that you just quoted with me, and that also talks about Chalitza. And that's why we follow three. But if there's just one stam mishnah, we wouldn't have to say that halacha follows like that. By that, the Gemara asks, but hasam nami trei stamim, and it's not true. By me and we also have two anonymous mishnayos. That's not like we learned the mishnah in Perek Ketzad, that spoke about a chacham that makes a woman forbidden based on her vow. He didn't find any heter for her, which thus makes her forbidden to her husband, and then she gets removed from him. So he says he's not allowed to go ahead and marry her, because then people are going to say that, oh, he didn't find a way to permit her because he wanted to marry her, and we don't want people to make such rumors. Now, however, the Mishnah there says, Miyano oisha choltza b'fanav, if she did miyun in front of this Talmud Chacham, or chalitz in front of him, then you say, and then he's allowed to marry her after she's removed from her previous husband, and there's no problem of what's called hasim mimcha ikshus, but the people are going to start saying, oh, he's the judge and he just did it to be able to marry her. And the reason Neshu Bebezin, because miyun and chalitza are things that you can't do by, as you could do by Hataras and Daram with just one judge, that to say that, oh, he did it because of his own personal vested interest. These processes of miyun chalitza could only be done with a bezin. So obviously, they're not going to agree to him so that he can get his own personal selfish interest. Now, it says that because it's in a bezin. Now, bezin is with three people. And therefore, you see, that's another mishnah that says means is with three. So you have two stam mishnayos that means is with three, and yet still we say the halachas mean is with shnayim, with two. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elohasim, but over there by mean, there's only three stami, two anonymous mishnayos. Hacha, over here by chalitza, this tlos is stami, there's three anonymous mishnayos, because that mishnah that we just counted in Perek Ketzad is the third one, besides Sanhedrin, and our mishnah that says chalitza is with three. So three is better than two. Which the Gemara has mechti. Let's see. Hastama v'hastama, both of them have anonymous mishnayos. Mali chadstam, mali treistam, mali tlosa. What's the difference if you have one anonymous mishnah, two, three? If you have two at least, that should be the same svar, the same logic. If you say that anonymous mishnah says one way, you're going to follow that. So the same thing should be by me, but we don't. So Elam Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, he says, actually it's a different reason. Hayil, since over here by chalitza, it's v'stam b'mokam achleikis. We had the anonymousness of it, the anonymity of it, that said where the machlokes really was. In other words, that Mishnah that was saying that Stam says that it's three, Rabbi Huda, who's the disputant that says five, that same Mishnah, he argues about something else. And he doesn't argue regarding Chalitza. Obviously, he retracted. But by Miyun, it's not a Stam b'malka machlokes. In other words, because the Tanoim who argue, that's Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yisi, who they say it's two, their opinion is not brought over there in regards to a different machlokes, and that to say that, oh, from the fact that they don't argue regarding it, obviously they retract it. It's not like we learned in that Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, it says, Smicha Zakenim, regarding the leaning of the elders on the Parhelim Davar, which is when the entire Jewish people do a sin because of Bezdin's erroneous psak, or the Egla Rufa, regarding the measurement of the elders to know which city is the one that this person had died on the road closest to know who has to bring the decapitated calf, that has to be done with a process b'shleisha, with three elders. That's the Rebbe Yisi. Rebbe Huda, I mean, he argues on these two processes, and he says b'chamisha with five. Now then the Mishnah continues and says, ha'chalitza v'ami'un b'shleisha, the process of chalitza and min is done with three. Now, Veloy Kapolig Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue. Now, in that same Mishnah, he's arguing regarding a different halacha. Obviously, although Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's quoted in the Braisa on Amad Alav, that's saying that no chalitza needs five, and yet here in the Mishnah, he's not saying that it needs five. Obviously, we could infer from there that he retracted. And that's why the halacha is chalitza is with three. Not because it's a Stam Mishnah, but because that Stam Mishnah has the dispute not arguing on that. Whereas by the other halacha, although there's a Stam Mishnah, that means it's with three, but it doesn't have the disputants over there. And therefore, could be they still disputed, and therefore we could still say the halacha is, that mean is by two. Whereas again over here, obviously everybody agrees, even the disputant retracted and says, chalitza is with three. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, the judges have to establish a specific place with the intention for this to be the place where the chalitza is going to happen. Because the Chassidus says in that pasuk in Devarim, va'alsi yavim te hasha'ara, that the Yavama will go up to the gate, which sounds like the place which was prepared from this, elazakenim to the elders. Now, Rav Papa of Rav Hun the Bered of Yeshua, avdi uvde bechamisha, they did the process of chalitza with five. So the Gemara says, come on, who's that like? Krebi Huda? But v'ha'adabe, we just proved from the Mishnah Sanhedrin that he himself retracted and everyone agrees you only need three. So the Gemara answers, it was lefarsumi milsa. It was to publicize this, that this woman is a chalutza. Either as Rashi says, so that she should never be taken in marriage by a kohen. And that's because here there's no identifying feature like a woman that gets divorced or gets a get. Here there's no way to know, so we wanted to publicize it. Or that people should come and know that she's available. So we want to publicize it to say she's available. And that's why we do chalitza in front of five. But you're right, halachically, all we necessary is with three. As Igmar brings incidents illustrating this halacha, that Rav Ashi iklabi Rav Kana. Rav Ashi went to the house of Rav Kana. Amalei, so Rav Kana told him, oh, salak mar legabon, the master has come to us, limalui bechamisha, to fill the quota of five people that we need. So Rav Kana said, and we have an explanation. He says, havakim nekamid Rav Yehuda. I was once in front of Rav Yehuda. Amalei, and he told me, ta, go sak lezirza dekani, go up to the top, to the bundles of reeds, and sit over there, because we want to do a process of chalitza, litztarufa bechamisha, to fill the quota, the quorum of five. So they told him, Lama li chamisha, what do you need five for? So he said, Ki hechid l'faris emil, says to publicize it that she is a chalutza. Similarly, Rav Shmuel by Yehuda have a koi kamed Yehuda. Amalei, he said to him, Sak tol lezirza dekone, go up to the pile of reeds, l'staruvah bechamisha, to join for the five, to make them the minion of five people, l'fasumisha, to publicize it. Now, Amalei, however, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda responded to him. He says, "But Taninu, we learned as we had quoted this halacha just before. It says in the pasuk be Yisrael that only the Bezdin Yisrael has to be a court of Jewish people that were born Jewish. But like Bezdin Shagirim, it cannot be a court of converts. He says, but I'm a convert, meaning him and his father converted, and therefore he's saying I'm possible to join the quorum of five people because I'm a ger. So Rav Yehuda said, oh, Kagan Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda." Like such an honest person, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, mafikna mamayna apume. I would extract money from someone based on his mouth if he says that the person owes the money. It's like, Maras, mafikna sarkadadik, do you really entertain that? That he would go ahead and remove money from someone based on his testimony? But va'alpishnaim edam amrachman, the Torah says that to remove money for any legal halacha, you need to have two witnesses. I don't care how great a trustworthy person is, it's not valid in halacha. So the Gemara says what he was saying was meranishtara pume. I would create a deficiency in a document based on his testimony. And that is, if he says that I know this was paid up, so although the person's holding a document saying, look, the person owes me money, says I wouldn't collect with that. And that could be, because it could be he paid up but he just didn't get the document. That's how trustworthy he is. That wouldn't require a testimony of two people. Now, related to this, regarding the halacha of a ger being on the court, so Amar Rav Rava says, we continue to talk of Kaf Beis Amar Aleph, Ger Danes Chaver, a convert could judge his fellow convert, even capital punishment, Din Nefashas, Dvat Torah, according to biblical halacha. Now, Rashi says, because if we were talking about monetary law, then he could even judge every Jewish person. As the Mishnah says in Masechet Sanhedrin, Aflam Beis Amar Aleph, that everybody says, Hakol Kshem, everyone's valid to judge monetary law, where the Gemara says, what's Hakol coming to include? It's coming to include a convert. So actually, Rashi says that's what we're talking about over here is even capital punishment. And the reason is Shinim, because it says a pasuk in Devarim, Saim Tasim Alecha Melech, you should appoint upon yourself, the Jewish people, a king, Asher Yivcha Hashem Lekecha, by that which Hashem, your God, will choose for you, Mekerav achicha tasam alech melech, from amongst your brothers, you should place him upon you as a king. Now, the halachas of a judge are included in the category of what's the process of making a king. And that is because, as it says the pasuk in Mishlei, melech b'mishpat yamet aretz, that the king establishes earth with justice, with judgment. So you see that there's an element of dayanis, of judging in the king. Now, what that means is that if the judge is similar to a king, meaning that he doesn't need anybody else to support him, then it's yamet aretz, then he's going to be able to judge fairly because he's not biased based on people that support him like a king. Or similarly, because we find many terms of soim tasim, there's many placements of leaders which are said over here, and to say that anyone that's being appointed as a ruler and a judge over the Jewish people has to be mekerav achicha, has to be from amongst your brothers. Which the exposition of that is, alecha hu debein mekerav achicha, has to be a Jew that was born a Jew that can be a king or a judge upon the Jewish people. Aval ger danes chaver ger, but a convert could judge, not the Jewish people, because Esther has to be Mekarev Achicha, that was born a Jew, but he could judge his fellow convert, because we see it's only Alecha, but on a convert could judge. However, in Hoysa Imam Yisrael, but if his mother was Jewish, then Don Nafali Yisrael, then they can even judge a Yisrael, as long as his mother was Jewish, even if his father wasn't Jewish. Well, in the Chalitza, however, regarding the process of Chalitza, Ache Ove Ve'ima Yisrael, then it has to be that both his father and mother were Jewish. Shem, like it says in the pasuk, as we quoted on the previous amid, v'nikr shmoi b'Yisrael, that the Bezdin will pronounce his name amongst the Jewish people based on chalutz hanal, which sounds like that the dayanim have to be a Yisrael from all sides. It's not enough to be just that his mother to be Jewish, which would make him enough to judge a Jewish person, because then he wouldn't just be a convert. He would have been born at least maternally Jewish. But in the case of Chalitza, where it says B'Yisrael, has to be a Yisrael from all sides, not just from his mother, but even from his father.